Well, hello and welcome back to another episode of Bible Prophecy for Today. My name is Heather. In this part of the episode, we are going through the one-year chronological Bible, the New Living Translation, large print, of course. And I'm so thankful you guys are joining us today. No news and views on this part of the podcast, but we are getting into the Word of God. And we're letting the Word of God get into us, I hope. And so anyway, guys, I thank y'all so much for joining me today. sorry, my voice is a little rough, but I'm going to try to power through. There's some terrible, terrible cold going through the neighborhood here where I live, the city, apparently. And a lot of people I know that have it. And so I am drinking some vitamin C, and I'll probably take some more zinc tonight. But anyway, I wanted to get on today and at least get the word read today. I missed yesterday. And anyway, if you'll excuse my voice, I do apologize, but I'm going to do the best that I can. I got my coffee here, so I'll be taking, you know, little breaks here and there to take a drink of coffee. So some of y'all old timers remember way back when I used to drink a lot of coffee. When I was doing my podcast, and I had one of them email me one time, she goes, "I can always tell when you're taking a drink of coffee." I'm like, "I'm sorry." Oh, so I'm going to take a drink of coffee right now. So, all right, you guys. So let's go ahead and jump on to it. It's getting good. It's getting really good. We are in 1010 BC. Let's take ourselves way back to 1010 BC. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 30. We're going to read verses 1 through 31. And David destroys the Amalekites. And spoiler alert, you guys, I think King Saul dies during this chapter. So we'll find out, though. I'm not giving anything away. All right, let's go ahead and get into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, I ask that you please bless the reading of your Word today. In Jesus' name. All right, so here we go, guys. 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and Ziklag. They had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They had carried off the women and children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept as though they could weep no more. David's two wives, Ahinoam from Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among those captured. David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Then he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring me the ephod." So Abiathar brought it. Then David asked the Lord, "Should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them?" And the Lord told him, "Yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you." So David and his 600 men set out, and they came to the brook Bazor. But 200 of the men were too exhausted to cross the brook, so David continued the pursuit with 400 men. Along the way, they found an Egyptian man in a field and brought him to David. They gave him some bread to eat and water to drink. They also gave him a part of a fig cake and two clusters of raisins, for he hadn't had anything to eat or drink for 3 days and 3 days and nights. Before long, his strength returned. "To whom do you belong, and where do you come from?" David asked him. "I am an Egyptian, the slave of Amalekite," he replied. "My master abandoned me 3 days ago because I was sick. We were on our way back from raiding the Kerethites in the Negev, the territory of Judah, in the land of Caleb, and we had just burned Ziklag. Will you lead me to this band of raiders?" David asked. The younger replied, "If you take an oath in God's name that you will not kill me or give me back to my master, then I will guide you to them." So he led David to them, and they found the Amalekites spread out across the fields, eating and drinking and dancing with joy because of the vast amount of plunder they had taken from the Philistines in the land of Judah. David and his men rushed in among them and slaughtered them through that night and the entire next day until evening. None of the Amalekites escaped except 400 young men who fled on camels. David got back everything the Amalekites had taken, and he rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, small or great, son or daughter, nor anything else that had been taken. David brought everything back. He also recovered all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock. "This plunder belongs to David," they said. Then David returned to the brook Bazor and met up with 200 men who had been left behind because they were too exhausted to go with them. They went out to meet David and his men, and David greeting them joyfully. But some evil troublemakers among David's men said, "They didn't go with us, so they can't have any of the plunder we recovered. Give them their wives and children and tell them to be gone." But David said, "No, my brothers, don't be selfish with what God has given us. He has kept us safe and helped us defeat the band of raiders that attacked us. Who will listen when you talk like this? We share and share alike, those who go to battle and those who guard the equipment." From then on, David made this a decree and regulation for Israel, and it is still followed today. When he arrived at Ziklag, David sent part of the plunder to the elders of Judah, who were his friends. "Here is a present for you, taken from the Lord's enemies," he said. The gifts were sent to the people of the following towns David had visited: Bethel, Ramoth-Negeb, Jatir, Aror, Sifmoth, Eshtemeo, Rechal, the towns of the Jerahmeelites, the towns of the Kenites, Hormah, Bor Ashan, Athak, Hebron, and all the other places David and his men had visited. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 20 to 22. Here is a list of the men from Manasseh who defected to David as he was returning to Ziklag: Adnah, Josabad, Jadiel, Michael, Josabad, Elihu, Zelophehad. Each commanded 1,000 troops from the tribe of Manasseh. They helped David chase down bands of raiders, for they were all brave and able warriors who became commanders in his army. Day after day, more men joined David until he had a great army like the army of God. The death of Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 31, verses 1 through 13. Now the Philistines attacked Israel, and the men of Israel fled before them. Many were slaughtered on the slopes of Mount Gilboa. The Philistines closed in on Saul and his sons, and they killed three of his sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. The fighting grew fierce around Saul, and the Philistine archers caught up with him and wounded him severely. Saul groaned to his armor-bearer, "Take your sword and kill me before these pagan Philistines come to run me through and taunt and torture me." But his armor-bearer was afraid and would not do it. So Saul took his own sword and fell on it. When his armor-bearer realized that Saul was dead, he fell on his own sword and died beside the king. So Saul, his three sons, his armor-bearer, and his troops all died together that same day. When the Israelites on the other side of the Jezreel Valley and beyond the Jordan saw that the Israelite army had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they abandoned their towns and fled. So the Philistines moved in and occupied their towns. The next day, when the Philistines went out to strip the dead, they found the bodies of Saul and his three sons on Mount Gilboa. So they cut off Saul's head and stripped off his armor. Then they proclaimed the good news of Saul's death in their pagan temple and to the people throughout the land of Philistia. They placed his armor in the temple of the Asherahs, and they fastened his body to the wall of the city of Bethshem. But when the people of Jabesh Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all their mighty warriors traveled through the night to Bethshan and took the bodies of Saul and his sons down from the wall. They brought them to Jabesh, where they burned the bodies. Then they took their bones and buried them beneath the tamarisk tree at Jabesh, and they fasted for 7 days. 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 1 through 14. Now the Philistines attacked Israel, and the men of Israel fled before them. Many were slaughtered on the slopes of Mount Gilboa. The Philistines closed in on Saul and his sons, and they killed three of his sons: Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. The fighting grew fierce around Saul, and the Philistine archers caught up with him and wounded him. Saul groaned to his armor-bearer, "Take your sword and kill me before these pagan Philistines come to taunt and torture me." But his armor-bearer was afraid and would not do it. So Saul took his own sword and fell on it. When his armor-bearer realized that Saul was dead, he fell on his own sword and died. So Saul and his three sons died there together, bringing his dynasty to an end. When all the Israelites in the Jezreel Valley saw that their army had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they abandoned their towns and fled. So the Philistines moved in and occupied their towns. The next day, when the Philistines went out to strip the dead, they found the bodies of Saul and his sons on Mount Gilboa. So they stripped off Saul's army and cut off his head. Then they proclaimed the good news of Saul's death before their idols and to the people throughout the land of Philistia. They placed his armor in the temple of their gods, and they fastened his head to the temple of Dagon. But when everyone in Jabesh Gilead heard about everything the Philistines had done to Saul, All their mighty warriors brought the bodies of Saul and his sons back to Jabesh. They burned their bodies beneath the great tree at Jabesh, and they fasted for 7 days. So Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He failed to obey the Lord's command, and he even consulted a medium instead of asking the Lord for guidance. So the Lord killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse. Jonathan's descendants, 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verses 43-44. Jonathan was the father of Merib-Baal. Merib-Baal was the father of Micah. The sons of Micah were Pithon, Melech, Tahiriah, and Ahaz. Ahaz was the father of Jedah. Jedah was the father of Elameth, Esmaveth, and Zimri. Zimri was the father of Moza. Moza was the father of Benaiah. Benaiah's son was Rephaiah. Rephaiah's son was Eliasa. Eliasa's son was Azel. Azel had 6 sons whose names were Azrakam, Bokaru, Ishmael, Shariah, Obadiah, and Hanan. These were the sons of Azel. 2 Samuel chapter 4, verses 4. Saul's son Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth, who was crippled as a child. He was 5 years old when the report came from Jezreel that Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle. When the child's nurse heard the news, she picked him up and fled. But as she hurried away, she dropped him, and he became crippled. David learns of Saul's death, 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1-16. After the death of Saul, David returned from his victory over the Amalekites and spent 2 days in Ziklag. On the 3rd day, a man arrived from Saul's army's camp. He had torn his clothes and put dirt on his head to show that he was in mourning. He fell to the ground before David in deep respect. "Where have you come from?" David asked. "I escaped from the Israelite camp," the man replied. "What happened?" David demanded. "Tell me how the battle went." The man replied, "Our entire army fled from the battle. Many of the men are dead, and Saul and his son Jonathan are also dead." "How do you know Saul and Jonathan are dead?" David demanded of the young man. The man answered, "I happened to be on Mount Gilboa, and there was Saul leaning on his spear with the enemy chariots and charioteers closing in on him. When he turned and saw me, he cried out for me to come to him. How can I help?" I asked him. He responded, "Who are you?" "I am an Amalekite," I told him. Then he begged me, "Come over here and put me out of my misery, for I am in terrible pain and want to die." "So I killed him," the Amalekite told David, "for I knew he couldn't live. Then I took his crown and his armband, and I have brought them here to you, my lord." David and his men tore their clothes in sorrow when they heard the news. They mourned and wept and fasted all day for Saul and his son Jonathan, and for the Lord's army and the nation of Israel, because they had died by the sword that day. Then David said to the young man who had brought the news, "Where are you from?" And he replied, "I am a foreigner, an Amalekite who lives in your land." "Why were you not afraid to kill the Lord's anointed one?" David asked. Then David said to one of his men, "Kill him." So the man thrust his sword into the Amalekite and killed him. "You have condemned yourself," David said, "for you yourself confess that you killed the Lord's anointed one." David's song for Saul and Jonathan, 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 17-27. Then David composed a funeral song for Saul and Jonathan, and he commanded that it be taught to the people of Judah. It is known as the Song of the Bow, and it is recorded in the book of Jashar. "Your pride and joy, O Israel, lies dead on the hills. Oh, how the mighty heroes have fallen. Don't announce the news in Gath, and don't proclaim it in the streets of Ashkelon, or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice, and the pagans will laugh in triumph. O mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew or rain upon you, no fruitful fields producing offerings of grain, for there the shields of the mighty heroes was defiled. The shield of Saul will no longer be anointed with oil. The bow of Jonathan was powerful, and the sword of Saul did its mighty work. They shed the blood of their enemies and pierced the bodies of mighty heroes. How beloved and gracious were Saul and Jonathan. They were together in life and in death. They were swifter than eagles, stronger than lions. O women of Israel, weep for Saul, for he dressed you in luxurious scarlet clothing and garments decorated with gold. O, how the mighty heroes have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies dead on the hills. How I weep for you, my brother Jonathan. O, how much I loved you, and your love for me was deep, deeper than the love of women. O, how the mighty heroes have fallen. Stripped of their weapons, they lie dead. Guys, I hope you're enjoying this as we travel through the Bible chronologically. And I hope you join me next time as we'll be catching up on April the 20th scripture reading. be David is anointed king of Judah, and we'll still be in 1010 BC, and we're still, when then we'll be in 2 Samuel chapter 2. So I hope you guys will join me, and as always, get in the Word of God, let the Word of God get into you, Maranatha, the Lord Jesus, Maranatha. May today be the day that the Lord comes and takes us home. No matter what is going on in your life, no matter what troubles you're facing, just know that God, if God is on our side, who can be against us, right? Oh, what a wonderful day, folks. That was a scripture brought to me by one of my coworkers yesterday morning. That was our scripture of the day. If God be for us, who can be against us? So I'll give you that today, folks. And anyway, keep looking up for the great appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. He's coming to take us home. But until then, we are to fight the good fight, like the Apostle Paul said. And we'll just keep on fighting that good fight. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I pray that today you make that decision for Christ. You accept the free gift of grace that He's given you by dying on the cross for in place of our sins. His blood, His shed blood, is what forgives us of our sins. So cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Ask Him to save you, and He will save you. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and He will forgive you. So with that, guys, I'm going to get out of here. And thank y'all so much for joining me. And may God bless each and every one of you.